choices. And I know that all of you have already made some choices today because, for one thing, you chose to be here this morning, especially this morning of daylight savings time, when it's a little bit tougher. You chose to get out of bed. You made a choice about what to have for breakfast or whether you would even eat breakfast at all. You made a choice about what to wear this morning, or maybe somebody made that choice for you. Because some choices are easy and some are hard. And we often need help with the hard choices. Sometimes we ask advice from others to help us decide, but that doesn't always work out depending on the quality of the advice we get. Consider Yogi Berra's famous advice on making choices. He said, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." Well, that's not especially helpful. But if we can find someone with real wisdom to help us with our hard choices, it can be very helpful to listen to what they have to say. And that's what we find in our reading today, people faced with a hard choice and God's word and wisdom spoken by Moses to help them decide. Our main reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but most of that book is made up of sermons that Moses gave to the people of Israel, where he proclaimed, according to chapter 1, all that the Lord had commanded him. Now, if you think that a Sunday morning sermon might occasionally run long, think how long a sermon could last with Moses talking about all that God had commanded him to say. Thankfully, what he had to say was broken up into four smaller messages. Moses' first sermon in Deuteronomy recounts the history of the Israelites from the time they set out from Mount Sinai for the Promised Land, including how they had rebelled against the Lord and were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. His second sermon reminds the people of the law they had received from the Lord and the obligations they had as God's covenant people. His third sermon urges the people to obey the Lord and keep his covenant and spells out the blessings they will receive for obedience as well as the curses they will suffer for disobeying. The fourth sermon, of which our reading is a part, urges the people to make a fresh commitment to God before they finally enter the Promised Land. They are urged to renew their covenant with him. In our reading, Moses offers the people a choice between life and prosperity or death and destruction. Either choice pertains to what will happen when they enter the Promised Land. They will live and prosper if they choose to keep God's covenant, and just the opposite will happen if they choose to follow other gods. One commentary I read noted that the choice to keep God's covenant also meant choosing to live in fellowship with God. And I liked that thought because we as Christians are called to be doing the same thing, to live in fellowship with God. As John wrote in our second reading today, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so the advice Moses gives the Israelites on how to live in fellowship with God also applies to us today. We too have choices to make. As we look at the reading in Deuteronomy, there are two places where Moses tells the people how to correctly choose, and each contains three short points. The first is in verse 16, where the people are commanded to love the Lord, walk in his ways, and keep his commands. The second place is in verse 20, where again the people are told to love the Lord, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. Looking at both sets of instructions, we see that the first point in each is to love the Lord your God. This is first in both lists because it's the most important command here. In commanding love for God, Moses was repeating something he had previously told the people in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, that should sound familiar because when Jesus was asked which was the greatest command in the law, he replied by quoting that same verse. The command to love the Lord is the most important one here because that love is what motivates God's people to follow through with everything else that Moses commands. When we choose to love God, we will want to please him by listening to his voice, walking in his ways, obeying him, and holding fast to him. On the other hand, if we don't love God, why would we want to do any of those things? To live in fellowship with God, loving him with all that we are, must come first because everything else follows from that. After the command to love God on Moses' second list is a command to listen to God's voice. As I said earlier, Moses had been telling the children of Israel all that God had commanded him to say. So the people had been hearing the word of God, but were they listening? Hearing and listening are not the same thing. As a retired teacher, I can tell you there's a big difference between the two. In the classroom, students can hear what you're saying, but unless they actually choose to listen, unless they choose to be actively engaged in what they're hearing, then what you say will go in one ear and out the other. If you've raised kids or possibly have a spouse, you might agree that the same principle applies. So when Moses tells the people to listen to God's voice, he's urging active engagement with what God is saying, concentrating on focusing on God's word to them and how it applies to them. When God's word is a command, the result of truly listening should be obedience to that command. It's really the same thing that James said in the first chapter of his letter when he wrote that we are to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. When we are in true fellowship with God, really listening to what he says results in action on our part by doing what he says. Moses makes this plain when he also tells the people that they are to obey God's commands, something which should naturally happen when people who love the Lord listen to his word. In the New Testament, we find Jesus saying the same thing. For example, on the night of the Last Supper, he told his disciples, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Here again, we see that love for God comes first. Jesus is saying, "If you love me," because he knows that his disciples do. And from that love for God comes their obedience to him. Later that same night, Jesus told his disciples this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Here Jesus speaks of obedience to God's commands, keeping us in God's love, just as his own obedience kept him in his Father's love. Remaining in God's love is another way to speak of fellowship with him, and Jesus tells us that our obedience is necessary for that to happen. Obedience to God naturally leads to another of Moses' commands to the people, for them to walk in God's ways. We find a strong echo of this again in the New Testament, this time in the second chapter of 1 John, where John writes, "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." So when we claim to live in Jesus, when we claim to have fellowship with him, we must walk as Jesus did. We must walk in his truth and go where he would go. We must love the unlovable as he did and offer mercy, compassion, and grace to all we meet. We must have less of us in our hearts and more of Jesus. If we are to walk in God's ways, then we need to be like him in our ways. Moses' final point is for the people to hold fast to God. Now, other Bible translations phrase that command differently. They say to be loyal to him, or to remain faithful, to cling or cleave to him, or firmly embrace him. When we put all those translations together, we get a picture of our choosing to stay as close as we can to God. And being close to God obviously implies being in fellowship with him. James, in his epistle, wrote, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." And that was in the context of submitting to God and repenting of our love for the world. So for us to stay in close fellowship with God, to hold fast to him, we must come in humble repentance and submit to him and his word. Pastor Tyler Mayfield has summarized Moses' instructions to God's people in this way. He wrote, "To love God with our whole selves, to follow God's voice as we walk, to cleave to God by keeping his commandments. This is the way to life, not death." For us, I might add, this is the way to stay in close fellowship with our Lord. Moses urged his listeners to take action on what they were hearing, to make a choice. And their options were limited. They were not given a choose some from column A and some from column B choice. In reality, they could either choose to worship the Lord or choose to worship something else, but they couldn't choose to do both. And they were given no room for, maybe I'll think about it, or, well, I'll give it a try. Because I'm a science fiction geek, it brings to mind, for me, a scene from the Star Wars saga where Luke Skywalker half-heartedly tells Yoda that he'll try to do what Yoda says. And Yoda replies, "No, try not. Do or do not, there is no try." Here, Moses is telling the people, do follow God, or do not, there is no try. The choice the people face needed to be made and not put off. Moses said, "I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands." For Moses, there was an urgency in making that decision. It was to be made that day. For those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus, there's an urgency to the choices we have to make as well. It's true that we once made a choice to follow him, to trust him as our Savior. But if we actually want to maintain a relationship with him, which we all should, then we should also be making the daily choice to stay in fellowship with him, choosing today and every day to do that. If we don't, our love for him will soon grow cold, and our fellowship with him will disappear. For a Christian, not making a daily choice for God would be like saying, "I do," at your wedding, making that initial commitment, and then ignoring your spouse during the actual marriage. What would happen? Your love would grow very cold and your relationship would be doomed. In a good marriage, each spouse chooses daily to love the other, and in doing that, their relationship grows and deepens through the years. In the same way, in our relationship with God, we need to choose each day to do what Moses commanded, to love the Lord with all that we are, to walk in his ways, to listen to his voice and obey, and to hold him fast. When we choose to stay in fellowship with God in this way, then our relationship with him will also continue to grow and deepen. This choice for the Lord, for life, for fellowship is not just for our sake alone. It's for the sake of the world as well, because the closer we are in fellowship with God, the better we can know him. And the better we know him, the better we can make him known. Knowing God and making him known, that is what the Great Commission is all about. And that's what we are all called to as Christians. Moses urged the children of Israel to choose life, for the Lord is your life, he said. He urged them to make that choice today. May we, as followers of Jesus and children of God, have the grace to make that same choice. Let us choose life. Let us choose the Lord this day and every day. Amen. Let's continue our worship with the song of praise, The Power of Your Love.